Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson. Time to jump back into the weeds of South Carolina football with Jack Veltri of Gamecock Central. Jack, you were in the room on Saturday after the game. I'm sure Shane Beamer quite sallow in that opportunity to meet with him. How was he earlier today, and how has he been over the last few days? Has Shane been a goldfish? Has he turned it right back around and turned that positivity back on, or is that loss kind of dragging him down a little bit?
Doing pretty good, I think, guys. I mean, we spoke to him earlier today, and typically the way it goes, I was not on the teleconference on Sunday because I was at basketball, but I think with him, it's always, from my understanding and just listening to him talking a lot, it's always Saturday's a bit, you know, frustrated after the game. If they lose, happy on Saturday. If they win, Sunday typically is always a bit more gloomy and doomy. Like, it's Sunday. Everyone kind of feels that way, to be honest, but it's more so amplified when they lose. And then Tuesday's typically back to normal, pretty good, you know, moving on to the next week. There's not always a ton of carryover, but he was pretty good today.
Jack, I'll ask you the same question I asked one of our Clemson guests on the show yesterday, because both programs in a tough spot here in 2025. Do you believe that what's happening, in the rest of the country, across the country, with Brian Kelly, James Franklin, you know, maybe Mike Norvell, Billy Napier, do you feel like that has any effect on the thoughts and processes of those in charge, like a Jeremiah Donati, when it comes to Shane Beamer's future at South Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You mentioned all those jobs that are open, Cole. I mean, it's astonishing how many are open right now, and it's not even Halloween yet. Like, we still have another month to go in the regular season, and then there's the bowl games and the playoffs. Like there's still a lot of season left to go, and coaches have been fired it feels like forever ago since Virginia Tech fired their coach all the way back in week three, Deshaun Foster getting fired. I mean, it's just been crazy to think about how many coaches are gone. And I actually spoke with Jeremiah the other day. You mentioned Donati after a Board of Trustees meeting on Friday. Briefly just talked to him about Beamer and if he feels supported or if he's supporting him and whatnot. And he said yes, and that he believes that Shane's going to be able to get the thing turned around. He knows he could always talk to him about anything, and however he can help, he's willing to do so. So the interesting thing here is that Jeremiah did not make the hire with Shane. That was Ray Tanner when he was AD here at South Carolina. So that is interesting, you know, to just keep in mind. But I think the consensus around here is that Shane is going to be here heading into next season, and then you figure out from there. That'll be a discussion for another day, more so about, okay, what does his future look like maybe next year? But I think he's good to go for right now.
Jack, going a little big picture here, not a specific question about South Carolina, but, you know, these giant buyouts that guys like Billy Napier and Brian Kelly are getting, these were supposed to prevent the midseason firings. This was supposed to be that speed bump that made boosters say, "Whoa, we don't want to come up with $60 million to tell somebody to go away." In your mind, what is the tipping point? Because these are only going to keep going up. What is the tipping point at which boosters, even at the biggest schools with the richest fan base, will say, that is just too much for us to fire somebody in week five?
It's a good question. I don't know necessarily what the limits are. I don't know exactly what goes on at all these other programs that are firing their coaches and X, Y, and Z about which donors are doing what and all that. But I think you hear about it online that there are frustrated donors all the time, like, that are trying to, I think it was Billy Napier before he got fired. I think it was last year that was that rumor out there that I think they did have, whatever Florida's Board of Trustees, mm-hmm. whatever their equivalent is over there, they were supposed to meet or something, I think I read last year, and that the donors were coming up with enough money to get rid of Billy. This is last year before he got fired, a few weeks ago. So I don't think there's really any limits. I think you see Norvell, you see Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. It's kind of surprising those coaches haven't been fired yet, considering they've had long leashes at their programs that have done absolutely nothing. So I think it's just, you see the buyouts. I mean, Mike Norvell and his staff, it's going to cost over $100 million to move on from all those guys. And it's the same thing at LSU with Brian Kelly. I just think you look at each fan base, you look at the donors that they have at these schools and stuff. I think it's a case-by-case basis, I think, of which schools are willing to make the moves, because not everyone can just say, hey, let's pony up $100 million and let's get rid of these guys. But also, it's not just that. You have to make a hire after that too and hire a whole new staff. So it's a lot that needs to be considered when you're making these kind of, in my opinion, pretty rash moves.
Jack, just imagine being a rich LSU donor who was hit up for, and I don't know what Coach O's buyout was at the time. Let's say you're hit up for $10 million to get rid of Coach O. You're still paying that off. And then 3.5 years later, they're hitting you up again for money to fire Brian Kelly. I mean, how many times would you let somebody take money out of your pocket to pay somebody not to coach at your school anymore?
I mean, it's insane what people are willing to do just to move on from a coach. I mean, and here's the thing. You're not given a ton of time to get this thing right. I mean, if you're LSU, whoever the next coach is going to be, they're going to have 3 years max maybe to get this thing right. Like, people are going to people get a free pass in year one because you're coming in, a new thing. You know, Brian Kelly set the bar pretty high in year one by going to the SEC championship and never got back to that level again with 8-9 win seasons, and now they're 5-3 this season out in Baton Rouge. So, I mean, I think most people would accept that type of success, but LSU's different and Florida's different, and I think you could argue Penn State's different. I mean, these programs, they're not patient, and fans, as we all know, are not patient either. One thing goes wrong in one game, team could be 10-0, and something goes wrong in one game, it's, oh, fire this guy, fire that guy. The solution always seems to be fire this coach, fire that coach, but it doesn't always work out. You know, what's the saying? You know, be careful what you wish for. Moving on from Brian Kelly might seem like the right move right now, or moving on from James Franklin may seem to be the best move, but is it going to be that way in 3-4 years when, shoot, you might be right back here again having to cough up another $50 to $100 million. It's a lot to think about.
Jack, do you believe it's outlandish for Gamecock fans to want Shane Beamer fired?
Yes, I do. I think it's a bit crazy because go back to how many months has it been? Almost a year now since they beat Clemson and everyone's talking. I can't remember exactly, so I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, Beamer's the savior. Beamer is the greatest, all the singing his praises for beating the Tigers and having a great year, winning 9 games, and you give him the contract extension, and everyone's excited that this is the man for the job. And now you got people actually out here wanting to run him out of town. That's ludicrous to me. I think Shane has done a pretty good job over the years. Guess this season has not been the one you were hoping for, But I think we also have to remember, I think the expectations were just set way, way too high for this program coming off of last season, just because of everything they lost, and that, you know, teams are pretty good in this conference, and that's always going to be tough to win in the SEC. So I think it would be a little bit crazy for people to want Shane Beamer fired right now, because I just think he's done enough to earn another year, in my opinion, not just based on this season, but as the body of work as a whole.
So, Jack, help us out for those who don't know the process of hiring an offensive coordinator, because there's a very high likelihood at the end of the season there's going to be a new one coming to Columbia. Is Shane in charge of hiring that new offensive coordinator? Does he have help? How many hands are sort of involved in making that decision?
Yes. Ultimately, it's going to be Shane Beamer's decision, as it was with Marcus Satterfield, with Dow Loggins, with Mike Shula. There's definitely input from others, I would say. But at the end of the day, it's Shane's decision. I would say Jeremiah Nanati is definitely involved in those conversations. But this is Shane's program, and he's going to hire who he thinks is best for the job. And obviously, it needs to get approved by the Board of Trustees. So there are a lot of different voices in that discussion, but it's Shane's program. And whether it is wanting to move on from Mike Shula after season's end, I think we still need to let this season play out and see. Because if he hasn't been let go yet, I think you just let him go the rest of the year at this point and just see what can happen. Because the offense was better. As much as everyone wants to get rid of Mike Shula, guys, I think the play calling was fine on Saturday against Alabama. It was not the reason you necessarily lost the game. There were other things that went wrong in that game for South Carolina to blow that lead. But the offense can continue to be better. They have to be, because one game does not change everyone's opinion on what the body of work looks like on the whole.
Jack, what do you think the biggest downfall was Saturday into the reason that South Carolina was not able to close that game out against Alabama?
Yeah, I think the big issue closing out that game was just, you got to give a lot of credit to Alabama, first off.
Sure.
The way they were able to just, you know, after Lenora scores the touchdown with like 10 minutes to go, Alabama goes on an insanely good drive, a championship-level football team type of drive, where you're going nearly 8 minutes down the field, not just scoring a touchdown, but you're getting the two-point conversion as well on somewhat of a trick play. That's impressive. And for as rough as things look for Ty Simpson at times, and that offense, they stepped up when it mattered most and made the plays. And the defense for South Carolina, which played really well throughout the day, did not get the job done when it mattered most. And that's where I think you talk about, all right, well, Alabama stepped up in the fourth quarter and South Carolina didn't. So that's the difference between winning and losing in this conference.
Jack, you know, it doesn't show up on the stat sheet a lot, Jaden Sellers, but he had a pretty monster day when you consider he only had – 3 receptions, a long of 22 yards. Talk about the connection that Lenoris and Jaden have. And are you a little disappointed that this might be just a one-and-done opportunity to see those two play on the same field?
Yeah, it would be a little disappointing, wouldn't it? I think their connection's been pretty good over the last 2 games. Shane joked today with us in media availability that they've got Jaden in the slot. And before Jaden became that guy in the slot, Lenoris hadn't been throwing a ton to the others at that slot position. So, and now he's throwing a lot to Jaden. So it's like, Shane's like, oh, hold up now. So it's funny in that regard. But yeah, no, the connection's been really good. And that 4th-and-12 play, that's a really good play call by Mike Shula, and just an efficiently job well done for Sellers to take a few steps to his left, find Jaden on the other end there to make that catch. And it was a really nice play. And yeah, their connection's been good so far.
Is there any part of you that thinks maybe Jaden being there for his sophomore season next year might tug on the Norris's heartstrings a little bit to stick around one more year?
That's a good question. Here's my thing. Before Saturday against against Alabama, I would have said, look, Lenoris has not really shown me that he's that first-round NFL draft pick type of quarterback that we know he can be to go out there and play like the way he had been. Hadn't shown me that throughout the season, to where I'm like, oh, maybe he would benefit from coming back for another year. But then you see the performance he does have against Alabama. It was very good, in my opinion. You could talk about the fumble all you want. That's a play that's always going to be there, that is always going to be talked about. But what needs to be talked about is the way he played throughout that entire game. The interception was not on him. The completion rate wasn't necessarily the highest, but still, he gave you a chance to win that football game and made some really spectacular plays. So he's, in my opinion, I don't know what is going to happen at the end of the year with that decision, but right now, I mean, he looked like a quarterback that would be taken to the first round. I see what the NFL scouts are seeing with that performance he had on Saturday.
Well, Jack, it doesn't get much easier, man. This Saturday, we all know this gauntlet continues for South Carolina, this time on the road at Ole Miss, the 7th ranked team. South Carolina 3-5 going against 7-1 Ole Miss. 12.5-point favorite are the Rebels, and we know how this game went last year. Not really a close contest. Does this one have any inclination in your mind that it's going to be different in terms of it being a close contest?
I think it could be. We still need to see more out of this offense for me to feel like, okay, they can go out there and match punch for punch with what Ole Miss does, because it's not just their offense that's good with Trinidad Chambliss. It's the defense is good, and they're just a good, well-oiled machine that can cause a lot of problems for South Carolina. My thought is this game could either be entering blowout territory, or it could be that South Carolina is in a dogfight. I think that is what we're going to see on Saturday. It's one or the other, and I don't know necessarily if the game cocks up enough in them to win it, but I will say, after the performance they had against Alabama, I think they could honestly go out here, and if they play like that again, they got a chance, in my opinion.
And then, Jack, to give you a preview of what we're going to touch on in the very next short segment, we saw Kellen Moore bench Spencer Rattler on Sunday, midway through that loss to Tampa Bay, and it has been announced that the Saints will start rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck over Spencer Rattler. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, and apparently that's for the rest of the season. Yeah. So, like, I felt like this was going to happen at some point. First off, Spencer was not Kellen Moore's quarterback when he came in. Did not draft him. That was the previous staff. And, you know, let's face it, guys, Spencer was a fifth-round draft pick. And if there's any sort of slip-up at any point, which he'd been playing really well for most of the season, but did not play well on Sunday, and you see the results are because of that, where he's getting benched now for the guy that Kellen Moore drafted. And it's not like Tyler Shuck is, you know, this all-world quarterback. I don't think he's going to be any good, and especially in the Saints offense, where you see Rattler couldn't succeed. I don't think Tyler Shuck is going to succeed either. So, yeah, I don't like it for Rattler. It stinks. It's a tough situation to be in, but the guy's a next level professional, and I think he's going to end up somewhere on his feet, whether it's back with the Saints after the season or somewhere else. I mean, I hope he gets into a good situation, because he was playing pretty well, and then to see him get benched after a little bit of a tough stretch, I mean, what do you expect out of the guy? I mean, it's an awful team, awful organization right now. It's a tough spot for any quarterback to be in.
Jack, you're a pro. We appreciate your insights, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
See you, man. Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central. Really good stuff there. We'll dive into that. Tyler Shuck, now QB1. Is Jack Veltri right? We'll talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.